The good news, in the words of Jesus, challenge us again today to make a radical decision. That's not new, is it? Are we depending on our family bond with Jesus, the fact that we are called Christians, or that we are baptized into his family as brothers and sisters? Or are we willing to do the things that it takes to look like a brother or sister of the Savior, to live like a brother or sister of the Savior? It seems like this passage has come up on weekdays and on Sundays a number of times over the last year. It's obviously important since it shows up in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But today the church gives us a particular way to look at this passage and its meaning. It gives us a kind of a lens to look through. And that lens is the high point, the climax of the Exodus story, the Israelites' dramatic coming out of slavery. So let's focus in on the moment when the Israelites enter the Red Sea on dry land. Of course, there's much more to the story that we heard today, but I want to focus in on that one point. Everyone in both nations was used to the relationship of slavery. Pharaoh wanted to renew that relationship. The people were so terrified that they were willing to go back to slavery rather than go into this dangerous situation. For all of human history, this will be the same spiritual battle. Life is not satisfying in slavery, but it is familiar and in a strange kind of way, comfortable. That's why it has that allure. That is why it has that temptation. We go there easily. The church goes there easily. We know this. And that's where the rest of the world kind of hangs out most of the time. So at that moment, the odds are really against the people of God. The odds really are always against us, unless God is fighting for us, as it says in Exodus. The verse I am suggesting as key today is this: but the Israelites walked on dry ground through the sea, the waters forming a wall for them on their right and on their left. Two things to note here. First, we see a new creation taking place. It's not an accident that the wording sounds a little bit like in the beginning. In the beginning, just before God creates the first living things, there was only chaos. But God made dry land appear from the chaos of the waters. So the Exodus from Egypt is a new creation. This is not an accident or an artificial reading of this. The scripture writer intends for us to see this as a new creation. Second thing to note is that the waters formed a wall on the right and on the left. On the right and on the left. The people must have been terrified. They were ready to panic. They were ready to give up. What changed that? They have a lot further to go than just getting out of Egypt. They have only just begun the long journey to trusting in God. However, they sort of trust Moses. And at that critical moment, that voice, Moses' voice, is something to hang on to. And he says, "Fear not. Stand by and see the salvation of God, which he will show you today. God shall fight for you, and you shall be silent." So sometimes for us, in the face of that danger, it is just simply for us to be silent and watch God act and go forward and follow him. And so the people do that. They step forward. At that moment, God makes the choice kind of simple. Once onto the dry land between the walls of water, there is really nowhere to turn. There is only death on the right and on the left and also behind them. I didn't know this, but 32 times in sacred scripture, it explicitly tells the people to obey God's commands and not to deviate either to the left or to the right. I don't know which comes first. I guess it doesn't really matter. 32 times. Not to deviate from the right or to the left, from obedience to God and the worship of God. So 40 years later, after this crossing of the Red Sea, they were about to cross another body of water into the land of promise. And so I'm just going to give you one example. Joshua tells the people in Joshua chapter 1, verse 7, "Be strong and courageous, careful to act in accordance with all the law that Moses commanded. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left." And we might also remember that Peter, when he got out of the boat and walked towards Jesus on the waters of chaos, it was only when he looked around him, doesn't say which direction he looked, but he looked probably to the right and to the left, and all he saw was chaos, and that was when he fell into the waves and needed to be saved by Jesus. So now let us take this perspective and apply it to what Jesus, the new Moses, says to the people. The message comes to him that his mother and brothers want to see him. They can't because there is a crowd around him. So that's us. We are always trying to get to Jesus, but are often prevented by the chaos of the crowd. The chaos, the busyness of our lives, we might say. Some of those in the crowd, of course, are looking for salvation, and they are attracted to Jesus, but many there are trying to kill him and the message of freedom. Freedom from sin. The chaos surrounds Jesus on all sides. We see this as his ministry moves along. Yet he makes it quite simple for us. Access to the Savior requires only one thing. Do the will of the Father. Don't wander to the right or to the left. There you will get lost. There you will die with Pharaoh's army and chariots and chariot drivers. You will die in your sins. And so Jesus' message for us today is that we can get to Jesus anytime. He makes it clear that the straight path for those who want to access to him is right in front of them, right in front of him. Here is what you must do. Follow him. Whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my mother and brother and sister. The straight path of discipleship, I think you know, is difficult. We might even say terrifying at times. At least until we come to trust in God who saves us. What we should be afraid of is going back to slavery, to sin. We should be afraid of the chaotic waters to the left and to the right. That's common sense fear. Eventually, those who cooperate with God's plan of salvation experience increasing separation from the chaos and from sin. And those who seek to thwart God's plans are thrown into the chaos. But the Lord is fighting for you, we hear today. Listen to his voice. So we are to put our trust in God when our back is against the Red Sea. It is a metaphor of what God will do in baptism. He will wipe away our sins like he wiped away that army. We can't save ourselves. The church can't save itself. But let us not wander to the right or to the left. But let us sing with Miriam and with the psalmist, "The Lord is my strength. The Lord is my song. The Lord is my salvation." Let us sing this song with Miriam and Moses and with the Israelites and with all the saints, the holy men and women of history who did the same.